This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Let's start with the stud Saints wide receiver and Chris Olave. I mean, nearly all green route tree. This guy's been incredible for, you know, a couple years now. 76.3% success rate versus man. 87th percentile there. 76th percentile score against zone. Again, we're looking for players to clear that 80% mark. He got to 81.5. That's pretty good. Matt, what makes this guy, Chris Olave, just, again, just an absolute... It's difficult to stop this guy, man.
Yeah, I think he's really the same player that he was in college. He still is in the NFL, which is 95% a good thing, and I maybe 5% a bad thing. And we'll get on to that second point later, but let's start with the positives here.
Okay.
I think this guy's been so consistent. You actually look at his reception perception results through two seasons here. 75.8% success rate versus man in year one. You go to year two, you mentioned the numbers there. 76.3%, right within the same kind of ballpark. 81.2% against zone, 81.5% against zone in his second season. 77.5% as a rookie against press, 77.1% against press as a second-year player. Just very consistent numbers, very consistent results for Chris Olave here. Which I think is important because I think his second season was viewed as a little bit of a disappointment from a statistical perspective. I think people were expecting a leap there that didn't necessarily take place. He was still the same guy that, you know, kind of lit it up as a rookie with Andy Dalton. I think that it's interesting when you I just did a big episode with the Underdog Fantasy Underdog Football Show, Josh Norris and Hayden Winks, and we were talking about year three receivers. I said on that show that I think you could argue that while it's kind of outrageous that all three of these top receivers from this draft class, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Chris Olave, they've all had kind of bad environments to start their horrific careers. I think it's pretty easy to see why the first two, Wilson and London, have been held back by their quarterback situations and some just the overall offensive ecosystem.
Coaching.
I tell you, man, I watched that Saints offense last year, and it's like right up there in terms of not
well designed.
It was a rough watch, especially last season, you know, and not even touching the Derek Carr part of it, like just putting Carr to the side.
Okay.
We've talked about this on the show before, James, but
yeah,
Chris Olave as a rookie ran 7.4% of his routes were slants as a rookie. That is the lowest I've ever charted for a player since 2014.
Like, that's crazy.
And that, we're talking hundreds of individual seasons,
insane.
Tens of thousands of routes. And last year it jumps up to 13.4%, which is not a beefy number at all. So this is a guy that's run a very, very downfield oriented route tree. A route tree that really lacks in layup routes. And despite that, he's been a really strong separator through his first two seasons, especially against press man coverage, where he's at the 87th percentile against man and 82nd against press last year.
Yeah, you would think that the scouting report would be, again, if you have Chris Olave and you're asking him to run all these downfield routes, and this is the offensive base that you have established for yourself as a New Orleans Saints and Pete Carmichael, right? Why on God's green earth would you then go and get Derek Carr? Like, this is what I don't understand, right? And again, his quarterback profile is up on the site. And can I be 100% honest? I had my concerns regarding this whole Derek Carr, Chris Olave mix, you know, when they signed Derek Carr. Because again, the work that you did here on the Olave profile, and then the work that our guy Derek Klasser did on Derek Carr, and you look at the two profiles and you say to yourself, this isn't going to work in its current form. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely how it worked out. Right. So Derek Carr has, you know, again, Derek Carr with a 36.4% success rate on the nine route, 37.5% success rate on the corner, 50% success rate on the post. If these sound low, it's because they are. Right. These are not good numbers. Right. Meanwhile, you've got Chris Olave on the other side really doing damage and running a lot of nines. In 2022, he ran almost 20% of his routes were nine routes. 11% of his routes were post routes. Another 6% on the corner. So you add that all up, I mean, we're talking almost 40% of his routes were, again, of the deeper variety. You go and sign Derek Carr, but you don't change the offense. Matt, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's just tough when we're talking about these guys like Derek Carr, because I think we all know what they are, right? Like, they're a guy like Carr is a acceptable starting quarterback in the league. I think you're, I mean, if you're the Saints, you're unfortunately not looking for a replacement, you know, anytime soon, because you keep kind of doubling down on this current build, which it kind of has to leak into every conversation about the Saints. Is it just like, does anybody buy into the ethos that's coming out of that building right now? Does anybody buy into the Dennis Allen of it all? The, like, we can't kind of keep doubling down on this era of Saints football, you know? I mean,
and they,
I will
and they
say
keep looks- kicking the salary cap thing. They just keep kicking it down the road. I know it's the most Saints thing ever, but geez, guys, like, at some point, it's going to be an absolute train wreck for New Orleans.
Yeah, just because I think you get stuck in this place, which is like, every couple of years, maybe you're good enough to compete to win the NFC South title. You're probably giving your fans more good Sundays than bad Sundays. But ultimately, you know, where does that get you in the grand scheme of things? I think the Carr part of it is hard to, like I said, I almost kind of want to put Derek Carr to the side, because to me, when I watch the Saints, I think the biggest issue is with the design of the offense. I mean, this offense never, under Pete Carmichael, never used motion. They really kind of just do very static route tree stuff. Like you mentioned the Chris Olave route tree. They mix it up a little bit more in terms of fewer nine routes last year, but he's still running a lot of like flat routes, out routes, curl routes. I mean, 19% of his routes are curls. He's got a great success rate on those, 82.4%, but there's not a lot of middle of the field work. Like, I think his post route percentage should be up. I think his dig route percentage should be up, and that slant route percentage, I'm gonna keep coming back to it, 13.4% for a guy who is so quick off the line, is a great technician. Like, that's bizarre to me. It's almost kind of similar to, not from an alignment perspective, but from a route assignment perspective, it's a little similar to the conversation that our podcast and a thousand other people have had about Calvin Ridley in Jacksonville, to bring it back to the Trevor Lawrence thing. You know, this is a guy who's like a fundamentally really good route runner, you know, a guy who has technique, and I think Chris Olave's both a better, was a better prospect, better player, and like certainly is a more explosive version of Calvin Ridley, that same fundamentally detailed technician. But like, you want that guy working over the middle of the field. You want that guy like dusting corners in man and zone coverage and giving your quarterback a layup target. You're right that then you throw Derek Carr into the mix here. I said this a lot during the season, but all of these receivers, once Michael Thomas is removed, you know, Olave, Shaheed, even A.T. Perry, when he was kind of getting in the mix there, these are all like vertical receivers that are being used on vertical route trees. Meanwhile, you got a bad offensive line with a quarterback who's addicted to checkdowns, and then like having Alvin Kamara in the backfield, like you might as well be putting a cigarette, you might be putting a pack of cigarettes on the smoker's nightstand every day. He's gonna wake up at that bedside table. He's gonna have that cigarette right there. That he's not kicking that addiction with a running back who's known for his pass catching. So there was just a lot of like kind of factors that built on themselves in this Saints offense. But I just look at Olave and I see a player who is, in like, you isolate all those situations. I'm not saying he's a perfect player. Again, there are nits to pick in his game, but this is a guy that certainly was not maximized under the previous coaching staff. And we'll see what happens now that we've got Clint Kubiak off the 49ers tree here calling plays.
Yeah, I'm of the players, I know this is not related to wide receivers, of the players here in a Saints uniform I'm most intrigued by and have no idea how to project, it's probably Alvin Kamara. Right, 75 receptions last year on 86 targets. I mean, good night. By the way, that happened in 13 games for Alvin Kamara. It's just it's remarkable how much he was used out of the backfield. To your point with Derek Carr, that makes a lot of sense. And then again, he's going to be 29 years old in 2024, right? So where are we at with Alvin Kamara? I don't know. He's one of my favorite players. I really love his versatility and his utility in that offense. But I just don't know how to project this guy. I really don't.
Yeah.
Fewer checkdowns, I think, for sure. He's going to see fewer targets. At what level, we don't know. And again, how's Clint Kubiak going to utilize him in the run game? again, I'm curious. I'm interested to find out. So these are answers that we're going to find as the season wears on. But getting back to Chris Olave here, 60-40 outside-inside alignment in 2023. And again, this was a marked difference, I would say. 70% outside in 2022, about 60% outside here in 2023. I thought Olave's usage was a little bit different, but again, I'll be curious to see, Matt, where they go here in 2024 with his alignment.
Right, that's going to be, I think, interesting, because all of these receivers, I think, could get a little bit of a boost here with this change in offense, because like my biggest thing when I watched the Saints offense, it still felt like a unit that was sort of like needed to be manned by a Hall of Fame quarterback, like a Drew Brees type, which isn't surprising, because Pete Carmichael never called plays under, except maybe I think 1 year when Peyton was suspended, but for the most part he was kind of the second in command, like Sean Payton's his henchman, right? Or his first mate during that experience. But he'd been there throughout the entire Peyton Breeze Saints run, and it just felt like that offense was still stuck there. Now you bring this group in with Clint Kubiak, who we've seen Clint Kubiak call plays before. Definitely just more akin to typical Shanahan stuff. I think we're going to see a lot of that with this offense. And then it's really fascinating to kind of consider how that maps onto these players, especially Chris Olave, because there's going to be a lot more pre-snap motion. This team was dead last in motion at the snap. Like the way all of these teams are trending towards, hey, we've got a guy running full speed as the ball is being snapped. And like he's got a full head of steam. Tyreek Hill with the Dolphins, right?
Right.
He runs those little like cheat out motions rips back in the middle of the field. Why can't Chris Olave do that? Why can't Rashid Shaheed do that? You know, A.T. Perry, I know every time Dennis Allen seemingly, shout out to Coach Speak Index on Twitter, that account does a great job of kind of getting all these quotes together and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Seems like every time they post something of Dennis Allen, he's like talking down about a player. They asked him like, what does A.T. Perry have to work on? He's like, everything. So I mean, we'll see if he's in line for a big role, but theoretically he could be that like ISO X receiver. While I kind of, by the way, sidebar, James, I almost kind of want to do like an episode of who are the sacrificial X receivers in the league? I think A.T. Perry could maybe be that guy, right?
Sacrificial X's. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, though. The 100%. The grass-eating X receiver.
The Justin Watsons of the world. Yeah, the Romeo Doubs is... Romeo Doubs is a little... That's going a little step far. Only because he is highly utilized in the offense. You're talking about guys who are out there. They play 80%, 90% of the snaps. They run a bunch of routes, and they never get targeted.
The Alec Pierce. Just like everything, there's a spectrum and a scale to this where, obviously I think Romeo Doubs better than Alec Pierce in terms of usefulness in your offense. But still, he's that guy that backside, put him at X while we do all this fun stuff with Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. And I think A.T. Perry could maybe be that backside X on the line of scrimmage while we're moving Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave around. So that's what I think is interesting, just like mapping Olave, who, to bring it to the RP profile, like, yes, he has great success rate on out routes. Yeah, great success rate on nine routes, curl routes, and stuff like that. But why can we not get this guy moving full speed and running a route that's crossing over the middle of the field?
Because
if you're Derek Carr, and you're under center, you're in shotgun, whatever, you're heating up because you've got pressure, because maybe they're still working out what their offensive line's gonna look like, and he's just a guy who's always had a quick trigger finger. Instead of, I'm dumping it to Alvin Kamara in the flat, my first read is gonna be open on a design target here in Chris Olave. And that dig route or that slant route. And then let's see what Olave can do after the catch, because he's never been a big after catch player. He's never gonna be a tackle breaker, but he's also never gonna get a lot of opportunities running a bunch of damn out routes and curl routes.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. No, you're right. 100%. Okay, let me throw out some projections and we'll move on here. Okay. I've got Chris Olave here. I'll give medium medium projections. I've got him with 146 targets, median projection of 92 receptions, and just about 1,200 yards. So we'll go from there. 92 receptions, 1,200 yards. What do you think?
That's pretty fair. Like, I think if he didn't have a season like that, I'd be pretty disappointed. Like, he should have a season like that. I mean, last year he catches 87 balls for 1,123. You know, it's this little slight tick up from what he did last year. If he didn't take another slight tick up, I'd be pretty disappointed in that. But what's your high end range?
Yeah. So high end, here we go. So 107 receptions and then a high end of 1,616 through the air.
See, this is where I think it's interesting to come back to the overall success rates, and where I said that like 95% of what I'm saying is good, that he's basically the exact same player I expected him to be, and then there's like 5% of that that's bad, because, and this is bringing it way back to that Trevor Lawrence point of where I'm trying to be a little more cautious about what I say and like project and stuff like that. Let's be honest, like, this is a great reception profile. 75.8% against man, and then right into 76.3% against man in his second season. The press numbers being like stupid consistent at 77.5% and 77.1%, right in the same neighborhood against zone. That's great, but it's not a progression. It's the same thing he did in year one. Honestly, it's pretty similar, just if you adjust from the fact he's playing in college to then in the NFL. Like I said, it's about what you'd expect. Like, if you had asked me coming into the league, what do I, based on his college reception results, give me like ballpark what his NFL success rates. I don't normally do stuff like that just because it doesn't really work like that. But
yeah,
this is about what I'd expect him to be. But there's no jump from year one to year two. There's maybe like,
I see what you're saying.
You know, so like,
yeah.
Maybe there's some little things, you know, you could look at, like certain routes maybe, but overall success rates, they're right about the same. It's not like with the conversation we had about Garrett Wilson when he has this jump to like a 96th, 93rd percentile type man press score situation. That's not what we see with Olave. So when I'm thinking about like, where does he rank among NFL receivers?
Yeah.
He's certainly obviously not an elite player. I don't even think I'd sit here and say he's a superstar receiver yet. I think he'd be in that third tier, which is kind of like definitely a number one receiver, but more of just like very good number one receiver. And then it's kind of just like, when do we see that step? Is it this year?
Maybe
with a change in offense, third year, change in coordinator, change in deployment that maybe gets him in more of these situations, potentially. But I'm just trying not to put the cart before the horse here. And like, I haven't seen him be that player yet. I've seen him be a very good number one receiver. Have I seen him be a superstar number one receiver, a guy that I think is like a 1,600 yard player? No, that isn't what we've seen so far. But I wouldn't sit here and say that's impossible that we see that, essentially. Like, I think it's possible, but not like something I'm willing to write in pen.